Joe Osemi P, that is Packers head coach LaFleur. He's talking about the addition, of course, of Micah Parsons to the Green Bay squad. All of a sudden, people have decided now they're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. All right. Thanks for hanging out here on this Football Friday. First one involving the NFL of the 2025 season. We're jacked. We're excited. Had the season opener last night. Certainly a bad beat for everybody that had the over sitting pretty at halftime. And then the delay happened, then a field goal happened. And that's all that occurred in the second half of that game. So we're going to take a look at this week number one card. But we do want to remind you that starting this Sunday, BetMGM Network, wake up with us. So we've got BetMGM Game Day once again. It begins this Sunday. Myself, Kate Constable, Jason LaConfora, we're here 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Then it's You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff. Nick Costo, Sammy P, 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock, getting you right to kickoff. Line movement, props, fantasy, got you covered every Sunday morning right here on the BetMGM Network. And any big changes, Sam? I know you had the meeting. I had the meeting a couple days ago with our show. Jason could not connect. He could hear us. And then I realized late in the meeting, I'm like, oh, he's been in the chat. He's been commenting on everything that mostly I've been saying. But we couldn't hear from him until the very end. Anything fun happen? No?
Nothing? Really. Meeting was very short, sweet, to the point, which I love about the Andrew Williams meetings. Very short, very sweet. Costo said, I don't want to change anything. And we all went on with our lives. It was very short and very sweet.
Okay, King. Yes. Those are the best ones. All right, let's break down these games. It's week number one. The NFL, they don't have to put together these top-notch matchups. And I'm not saying we got that last night. But there are a number of killer games. And we're going to start with an NFC North one. Lions and the Packers. Heard from LaFleur there. All this excitement about Parsons. It's pick 'em throughout much of the summer. Now it's two. Now it's the Packers favored at home by two, total of 47. Okay. The Lions over the last number of years have had the Packers number. Last seven matchups, Detroit is 6-1 straight up. The Packers haven't beaten the Lions at Lambeau since 2021. That was an amazing four touchdown, no interception Aaron Rodgers game, but now the Pack is favored by 2 points.
I was sitting yesterday at Fox talking to Willie Colon, Super Bowl champ, played on the offensive line for a long time, and I just picked his brain on Sunday. I said, what do you think? What do you like? And he's not a gambler, but he's a football guy. He played at the NFL level at a very high level for a long time. And he was explaining just how painful this Parsons injury is. And he's explaining that this is a nerve thing, right? This is a pain blocker to your nerves in Parsons' back. And I don't want to, speak for Willie, but he was basically saying, look, Jerry may not be as crazy as everybody thinks. Because if Micah Parsons at age, 26 or 27, is already having nerve damage in his back, and needing epidurals to stop the pain, maybe this is worse than people realize. And Mike is not exactly this great run stopper. He's a pass rusher. I mean, he's a tremendous player. I'm not trying to take away from what Micah Parsons is as a player. But to lose Kenny Clark, one of your best run stoppers, and then swap in Micah Parsons, who's needing epidurals to stop the excruciating pain in his back, maybe we're not taking Detroit as serious as we should. The Lions are still, in my market, a better team. Higher power rating, higher ceiling, and they're a dog in Green Bay, mostly because the Packers traded for Micah Parsons, who, again, has an ailing back. Maybe a bad back isn't fair, but it's an ailing back. It's bad enough to where he needs epidural injections to block the pain in the nerves of his back. Willie said to me, Lions are winning. I said, that's interesting, because I'm not hearing a lot of that in NFL circles, especially in betting circles. It's, Packers, Packers to win the North. Packers to win the NFC. Packers are now 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. Are we sure that math is right?
I've been down on the Lions throughout the offseason, and we don't need to go into it again why. It's a lot of the same reasons. But what you'll pick up with a lot of betting content this week is whatever a person said about a team big picture, they're probably going to follow that with week one. If you're against the team, you're going to fade them week one. If you're on a team, you're going to back them in week one. So I think the Lions go under the win total of 10.5. I also don't think they should be an underdog in this game, not by 2 points. And I see some 2.5s out there as well. I have a ton of questions. The changes at coordinator. Okay, how are you going to go with the new center? Even though Ragnow's missed plenty of time, you still have a lot of the same key cogs, whether it be on offense or defense. It's a healthier defense. They're not back all the way. But remember, just injury after injury a year ago. And a majority of those guys are back. And now they're a dog to a team they've had their number against. And both of these coaches are great ATS. So, like, people point out, what about Dan Campbell? Oh, he's awesome. Well, what about LaFleur? You could say the exact same thing. I think those guys neutralize each other. And the Lions, how many teams should they really be a dog against? I would not put them there. You know, initially, I wasn't thinking Lions, but after the Parsons move and the Packers hype, this number has been going in one direction in favor of Green Bay. And we said going into last night's game that that was a Parsons overreaction. This feels like a Parsons overreaction. I'm really interested to even see how much he's going to end up playing in this first game with his new team.
So if you go back to the 2021 season, when Dan Campbell became the head coach of the Lions. We got to go back to 2021. It feels like it's been shorter than that, but it's been pretty long. He's been there a handful of years. Since 2021, the Detroit Lions are the best ATS team in football. 49-23. Yep. Better than Cincinnati, better than Dallas, better than Pittsburgh. The Lions, 68% against the spread. Now, is that the biggest sample size in the world? 72 games? No. But it's impressive. That guy covers 49-23 since week one, 2021. And if you want to look at their number as a dog over that stretch, how about 23-10? 23-10 ATS is a dog. The Dan Campbell Lions.
Jared Goff, season openers, 8-0 ATS. Add that to it.
What? How have we not bet the Lions yet?
Right. We needed to have this conversation. We really did. Because I circled it. Yeah, it's happening.
Well, I'm writing it.
Let's go. Are we good? What's the highest this number goes? 2.5?
2.5 going away. I see a lot of twos in Vegas. I see a one at Dave Mason's book.
Dang. Nice pinnacle 2.5. Okay. Yeah, there's the rec spots are at 2.5. Pinnacle as well. Maybe that ends up changing. We like the Lions in this game. Here's a team that you love this year. The 49ers, they are a road favorite, a divisional road favorite. Those have not been kind in week number one over the last number of years. It's 2.5. Not everywhere. There's some 1.5s out there. You can get into it, why you like San Francisco. I do have one concern that I want to dive into, but as far as this week one matchup, will you be betting on San Francisco laying 2.5 at Seattle?
I don't love laying 2.5. You could have laid 1.5 in the summer. I have not made a bet on this game, ATS, but I can tell you this. I put the Niners in one of our survivors yesterday. We decided, let's just put them in. Let's not wait. No waffling. Let's put them in. So I'm in three. We went Broncos, and then the third one, Niners. So those are our three. And tell me how 15 minutes after submitting and finalizing, Christian McCaffrey pops up on the injury report. Just lovely. lovely.
It's not. Oh, it's circa, so you can't change it.
We cannot change it. Nor do we really want to. It is what it is. Yeah. I'm going to hold out hope that he plays. But to see him pop up on the injury report yesterday with a calf issue, not great. And then they interviewed Kittle. There was a video floating around the internet of asking Kittle, are you ready to play with McCaffrey on Sunday? And people were dissecting the verbal cues and saying that he's lying. It's like, all right, well, you know, George Kittle thinks he's going to play. But the tweet came across last night late, after 7 o'clock on the East Coast, Adam Schefter, 49ers listing Christian McCaffrey limited at today's practice, Thursday's practice, due to a calf issue. Yikes. Not a great start for my McCaffrey Offensive Player of the Year pursuit.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe he gets out there. Maybe he dominates. They need him out there badly, badly. Look, here's my concern. I'm worried about the wideouts. If McCaffrey's not out there, now you know everything's going through Kittle. Where else does it go through? Jennings. Now Pearsall. Hey, you're like our second receiver right now because Ayuk is still hurt. Maybe week six, somewhere in that range, he makes a return. That would be an optimistic idea of when Ayuk makes his return for the Niners. MVS is a starter right now for this offense. That guy hasn't done anything in a handful of years. So I am concerned early in the season about the San Francisco offense, but I've got Shanahan on my side. I do have trust in Purdy. I like San Francisco in the game, but I have to know that CMC is good to go. I'm not going to sit here and bet on them. I'm not going to take them in any sort of contest if I don't know that CMC is good to go. Divisional home dogs do well traditionally, but we went over it yesterday. I'm not scared of Sam Darnold at all. They make a change in OC in Seattle. They have a good defense. I have a lot of concerns offensively. So this is not a team that I'm very high on going into the year. Would like to bet San Francisco. Not right now. Not until I get some confirmation that CMC is good to go in this game. Anything else to add on it?
Just a shortage of offense by the market. Total open 45.5. We're 43 at a lot of respected shops. So when McCaffrey news hit, whether he plays or not, there's a belief that defense will win the day. And that's been the biggest mover off the news.
Yep, certainly makes sense. Joe O, Sammy P, the week one card going over these games, matchup by matchup. What about another divisional matchup? Three in a row here, and now we're going to go to the NFC South. It's Tampa at Atlanta. The Falcons swept the Bucs last regular season. BetMGM has the Bucs as a 1.5-point road favorite, juiced a little bit. There are some twos out there. The total, 47.5, so you're past that key number of 47. 1.5, 47.5, road favorite once again, Sam.
I love this in a teaser. Assuming you can do it at minus 110 or minus 15 or minus 20 somewhere, wink, wink, not minus 150, 60, 70. This is such a good leg in a teaser. Atlanta up through 3, 7, 8. There are some 2.5 still in the market, by the way. So if you don't have the right number, don't do it. Actually, as I say that, the 2.5s are gone. There's a lot of 2 in the market. So 2 to 8 is not as strong because I don't go through the 8 anymore. But we talked about this earlier in the week when Tampa was a 2.5-point favorite. I think Atlanta through 7 and up to 8 is a good leg, still a good leg with Detroit. That would be how I would play this game. I'm rooting for you. I know you like Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, I do like Atlanta. When you look at the games last year, those were very high-scoring games. Now, Penix did not play. Those were Cousins games. You remember that Cousins 500-yard game in overtime? That was one of these matchups. 36-30, 31-26. So that's why we're past that key number of 47. Wouldn't surprise me in the least on that turf if this game's a bit of a shootout. Once again, I'm sure that's the direction a lot of people are going to bet it. So Bucks Falcons, a lot of time those divisional matchups, you don't see higher scoring games. We saw it both times last year. Divisional home dog, yes, I'm on Atlanta. I hope they're off to a nice start. Penix, impressive late last year, but not the best defenses. It'll be tougher this week, but that Bucs secondary, not strong either. All right, coming up next, Ravens-Bills, Sunday Night Football, the game of the week. We break it down next. This is Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. And they get to start with the Ravens coming up on Sunday Night Football. Joe O, Sammy P, welcome back. This is Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. We're going over the Week 1 NFL card. We were a little short on time at the end there with Tampa, Atlanta. Are you hearing the same, like, Baker over-the-top love that I'm getting? I find it very interesting, and I'm talking about respected people that are putting their 10 toes down, and they're like, no, it wasn't all Liam Cohen. Like, the idea is it is just as much Baker, the success of the Bucs offense a year ago, as it was the offensive play caller who now is in Jacksonville, and they're not scared off. You know, everybody's on Tampa Bay for the division. I hear a lot of people, so they're in on Tampa Bay to win this game on the road and cover the point spread. It feels like, for me, I'm like, we are just going way too far. And maybe I'm on an anti-Baker mission. I don't hope to be, but it feels like I'm kind of there because I just feel the love is just like so over the top, man.
Stats are blinding. And when Baker Mayfield throws for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns last year, people remember that. We remember what we've seen last. And a lot of that is rolling over into this season. I'm not saying Baker's going to fall off a cliff without Liam Cohen, but there will be some adjustments, no doubt. And they're not healthy at receiver. So this would be the time, you would think, to clip their wings, Week 1.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's get to it. Sunday Night Football. Baltimore, a road favorite, -1 over at BetMGM. That's where the market is. There are a couple of 1.5s out there at some rec shops, but it is -1, BetMGM. It is 50 and the hook. So that total is down a little bit from where we opened early on in the summer. It is always funny to talk about how much these numbers move because they're up for months and months and months. And it's such a short period of time when we're going week to week in the NFL. Are you surprised that the Ravens are favored?
Not really. They have the highest power rating in the league. And full disclosure, on my walk to Penn Station, I popped on WGR, heard my guy Joe O on with Shope and the Bulldog, and you were kind of cooling the Jets a little bit because they were making a big deal about Baltimore moving 2 points. And I said exactly what you said on a different show yesterday. A move through zero is not a big deal. And you painted it masterfully. You're going to have a lot of hype on the Ravens. And you also, I think you have some sharp people looking at the injuries in the Bills secondary. Well, the injury at corner to Trey White. Benford came back to practice. And then there is a hole, the Bills people tell me, at safety. So if people have been listening to guys like Mike and Bulldog, they're hearing about the issues in the secondary and they be reacting to that. Maybe it's you guys shoping the Bulldog. Maybe it's you guys talking about the secondary that's moving the market. But I look at the total and look how it's come down because all you hear about is Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. MVP against MVP. Mm-hmm. And the total has moved down 2 points. And nobody's talking about that. We're talking about the 2-point move from Buffalo -1 to Baltimore -1. But we're not talking about the total going from 52.5 to 50.5, blowing right through the 51. Do you think the public's going to bet the over in that one, Joe? What do you think?
Oh, I think so. Could be a chase game for some after all the favorites go down in flames on Sunday.
These are two top five defenses. And we're going to hear more about the quarterbacks than we will about the defenses. Now, to piggyback on the point that I brought up about, you know, Bills Nation and Buffalo radio guys talking about the concerns at secondary, I understand them. But the Bills should still be good against the run. And the Ravens set everything up on the ground. As good as Lamar has become as a passer, their bread and butter is setting up everything via the run. If they can run, they can do anything. You also have early season rust, offensive rust. We saw it in Philly. They couldn't get Barkley going last night against a Cowboys defense that is not really that awful. Good. So if you line up the Bills front seven and the Ravens front seven, there's a lot to like against those offenses. I think rather than pay attention to the move on the side, we should be looking at a game where people are going to come out of the woodwork to bet the over on Sunday night. Been waiting all day to bet the over, yet the market is coming down.
Do you think we'll head north by the time we get to kickoff when the song's done?
Look, I'll say this. If you have a 51, I would bet under 51. Yeah. A lot of these books, including BetMGM, are down to 50.5. And look, could this be 31-30? 100%. Could we see fireworks between Allen and Jackson? Yes. But to see this come down as limits go up, it definitely raises my eyebrows.
Yeah, it's a good point about the Ravens being the number one power-rated team. They are that, and we've heard a lot of that in the offseason. They improved a ton. The questions that we had a year ago on the rookie DC and Zach Orr, they're not there anymore. And you have the continuity with the offense, and then they add some pieces to the back end of that secondary. Jair Alexander, Starks comes in as a rookie. I think he's going to be just fine. It's not going to be this big learning curve. Similar to Kyle Hamilton when he ended up joining that defense a few years back. Man, the Ravens don't have a weakness. That's the thing. That's what's scary. I don't have a take on the side. I can't wait to watch it. But I think you're on the right track here as far as the total. That's going to be the more interesting part. And a lot of times we see these high-powered offenses not do exactly what you're expecting to start off the season. So a lower scoring game wouldn't be all that shocking, or at least lower than what is expected here. So I get that. You're just waiting. You're waiting for this to go up, and then you're going to come in on the under. That's what it sounds like.
I haven't done anything yet, but the 51 to me is very important. I want to be protected against 27-24. That's a very common landing score between teams like this, and I would never, ever, ever bet under 50.5.
Do you think any part of the Ravens' love in this matchup is because of the playoff game? Because it felt like, okay, the Bills got a little bit lucky, +3 in the turnover margin. The Baltimore led the way in yards per play and yardage in that game, that maybe you play that a game again and it's a different result.
Probably. As you've chronicled, the Ravens were better in basically every category except for the turnover category. So that could play into it. You also have this angle where the Ravens want revenge because the Bills ended their season. So there's a lot of that. But if we make Baltimore a one-point favorite in Buffalo, if we do 1.6 and 1.6 or 1.8 and 1.8, are you saying that Baltimore's a 4.5-point favorite at home against Buffalo? That ain't right.
Definitely not. Speaking of the revenge angle, I've been hearing some Lamar quotes. He's pissed Allen got the MVP. He thinks it should have been his. There's an argument to be made there. We'll see. You'll have your opportunity on Sunday night. Houston at the LA Rams. This has been a rock solid 3. The Rams are the favorite. Total is down from where we were over the summer. A couple of points going through that 44 down to 43.5. A lot of questions about the health of the signal caller for McVay. Matthew Stafford, how healthy is he with the back? He has the weapons. Of course, you still have Puka. No longer Cooper Kupp. Now they have Devontae Adams. And then on the Texans side of things, questions about the offense. No questions about that defense.
I don't have a bet on the game. I have done nothing with this. But if you missed 10 toes down yesterday, sparkling reviews, by the way. A lot of feedback on 10 toes down. People loved it. The open, outstanding.
Yes.
I feel like I should probably be swimming toward a Texans bet hearing Brian Gerch throw shade all over the Rambly. That's all I'm going to say. I should get there just in unison with Gerch.
He just said in the chat, Ramily, period, dead.
I love it. I love it.
I think he's right. I do like the Texans in the game. But we're looking at about a couple of really strong defenses. I understand the move. I agree with that move down. And I'm kind of pissed that I missed it. It makes perfect sense that this would be a lower scoring game, even though it's going to be Stroud. It's going to be Stafford, Nico Collins, Puka, Devonta. No, I would play under on this. I'm hoping it gets back to 44, but I'm expecting a lower scoring game. Houston's live. I will take the +3 in every contest. I'll be betting this game. I don't see it coming off this number of 3.
I've got nothing. I'm rooting for solidarity for Gurch. If he wants the Ramilly in the box, I will support.
And I'm with Gurch as well. All right, here's another game that we have talked a whole bunch about this week. And the market has reacted. No threes. Nope. Can't find one. Go as on. John Murray told us, sharp money, Raiders. Now, what I always wonder when you talk about a Vegas book is how much is that, because we're talking about the home team. I do wonder about that, but it seems like that's the case everywhere. The money that you want to be aligned with is backing the Vegas Raiders, the short dog. New England, -2.5. Same exact total as Texans Rams. This total, 43 and the hook. What do you think?
Well, I've told you the Patriots are losing on Sunday. I've already explained this and discussed.
Well, maybe the people are just jumping in on Friday. They're like, I want to hear the picks. Yeah,
I don't know if Drake May is good yet, and there's this conglomerate of people that are just rushing to anoint him the same way they did it with Mac. And okay, Jerod Mayo is the issue for Drake May. I got it. So now we drop in Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, and they're going to fix everything. Because McDaniels, you know, aside from Brady, he had a really good track record in the NFL, right? Give me a break, dude. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of it. The Patriots fans and the Alabama fans don't know how to assess talent. They just don't. Like, when talent is bad, they keep pedestaling bad talent. For 3-4 years... Oh, it's not Mac's fault. It's the coordinator's fault. It's the O-line's fault. It's the receiver's fault. It was never Mac's fault. Got it. Okay. That's why Mac's going to be bagging groceries next year. So just miss me with all this hype. And also what Murray said yesterday, which is very telling, not only sharp support for the Raiders, but you had sharp groups come in and bet the Patriots to miss the playoffs and bet the Patriots under the win total. Even though everybody's saying that they're a sleeper this year, rookie at left tackle, rookie at left guard. I don't know if the quarterback's good. I saw that Travion Henderson is running back 3 on the depth chart. Why? He's their best running back. There's a lot of things going on in New England. And I like Vrabel. I'm a big Vrabel guy. But to fix a 4-win team in one offseason, that's a lot to ask.
Mm-hmm. So was that on the Patriots' unofficial depth chart? Is that what they did? They put him 3rd?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I've seen some where he's set, like our lads decided to put him at 2nd. So, yeah, okay. Just curious about that. We'll find out. Yeah, okay. You're right. It goes Stevenson, Gibson, Henderson. They're unofficial one. But I don't know if that's Vrabel sending a message or what that is. But a lot of times that's done with a purpose. There's something behind it. Yeah, this hype train. The win total was 4.5 last year. They go under the win total. With 4 wins. Now it's 8.5, and it's the most popular win total to go over of all the teams. So much because of Vrabel. I get it. I think he's a good coach. He's treated me very well because his ATS record is off the charts. So he usually gets his team prepared. They're ready to go. They cover point spreads. It doesn't mean that the Patriots are going to be above 500 or they're going to be some great team this season. That's where you lose me. And a lot of this Patriots chatter is about the easy schedule. Well, maybe the Raiders are better than you thought. Something else to keep in mind is that, yes, New England had a big upgrade at coach. There's no denying that from Mayo to Vrabel. What about the upgrade that the Raiders made at coach from Pierce to Carroll? Like, that's pretty big too. I'm not saying Carroll is just as good as Vrabel, but that's a big upgrade. Pierce was a complete clown. Like, the guy had to go. It was ridiculous that they gave him the job full time. Now you have competent quarterback play with Geno. You have what most people project as a very good running back in Genty. Should they be getting 2.5? Not sure about that. I'm with you. You got there early, but there's a lot of people supporting you, a lot of smart people supporting you on Vegas. I certainly understand. We continue with the week one breakdown. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. Yep. Give me that. Give me all of that. Joe O, Sammy P. We'll get to Giants, Commandos, Steelers, Jets, a number of other games coming up in just a few minutes. 20 minutes from right now, we'll break down college football. Our friend Kelly in Vegas will be dropping by here on the show, and we'll have lightning bets later on in the show, our favorite NFL sides. We're going game by game right now, but we will wrap things up in a nice pretty bow in about an hour from right now. Sam, you noticed something during the break related to college football that is very impactful for one matchup. What you got?
So Texas Tech has just upgraded Baron Morton, their starting quarterback, to be the starter on Saturday against Kent State. And I know what you're thinking. Who cares? It's Kent State. Well, the market cares enough because Pinnacle just moved from 48 to 49. Other books are on the hike as well. Now, Texas Tech, if it keeps the pedal down, is going to win this game 70-7. Remember, Kent State almost lost to Merrimack last week. Kent State went 0-12 last year and was the lowest power-rated team in the history of Chris Andrews' power rankings. So, okay, now you probably get a half of Baron Morton, who's a very good quarterback, and then their five-star backup will probably play the third and the fourth quarter. So there was a chance earlier in the week Tech was going to play the backup to start and then go to quarterback three. Now it's going to be quarterback one and quarterback two. And if you've heard anything about Texas Tech this year, doesn't appear to be a team that's going to lay off the gas. So maybe if you read the Chicken Dinner newsletter last night, we were saying to take the 48 and lay it. Baron Morton will start for Texas Tech.
Now we're at 49 at some respected books out there. How far does this go? Is it going to be 49 across the board?
I think so. You have to get through it, too. I know people are going to think we're degenerates for talking about a game like this, but think about multiples of 7. 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. This could easily be 49-0 or 56-7. And some people would say, well, what does it matter? It's 48.5, 49. What's the difference? It's a big difference if it's 56-7. So that's all I'm saying. And it doesn't sound like Joey McGuire is taking Kent State lightly. Now, they know they're going to win, but he wants to see what he's got from his team. And he wants to get them ready to go. He wants to see them dominate. Be careful with Kent State on Saturday. If you're looking at that game and you think that's a lot of points, it is. But it could be 42-0 at half.
Dude, the Merrimack running back went for 100 yards on them.
Texas Tech is going to destroy them. I just hope that I hope it's not 56-0 and then Texas Tech puts in the third stringers. That's what you have to deal with. But think about all the money that they've spent in the portal, in NIL, all that oil money. I think this game is a blowout. Blowout.
Okay. Okay. Like 70.
They could easily score 70. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now this is on my radar. This is fun.
It doesn't
look like a great card, but now you got to pay attention to this one. When is this game? Saturday?
12 noon.
Make sure
Eastern.
I can find. Oh, perfect.
I bet perfect. 48 last night. Talked about it in the newsletter. You can find it. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter. We were hoping for this, and it literally happened during the break, and my phone lit up like a Christmas tree. So I'm excited. I'm excited!
Can you parlay Texas Tech in the over in this or no?
I don't see why you couldn't. Maybe some books won't allow it, but you should be able to.
Some books won't. Yeah, okay. Because the number's 60.5. And Sam's like, yeah, Texas Tech might put up 70 themselves. So, Yeah, just another possible angle if you're looking there. All right, let's go to another divisional matchup, another one of these. Not a divisional home dog situation because it is Washington at home, but they've got New York Giants. This number has been heading south. They are backing the Giants, which is really interesting. This was a touchdown in the offseason. Yeah, you're not finding sevens anywhere right now. You're actually seeing some books decide to go down to 5.5. Those are your public books, but there's a handful of them going to 5.5. We'll call it 6. That's what we have over at BetMGM. It's a total of 45.5. It is one of Sam's favorite plays of the week.
Well, I heard it from Ed Sammons a couple weeks ago. Ed is great at refs, as he calls it. They don't call it NFL at the Westgate. They call it refs. And Ed said to me 2 weeks ago, his favorite bet was the Giants at +6.5. Mm-hmm. And I did not bite the bait. I'm like, I don't know, man. The Giants stink. And then I talked to Ed a couple days ago, and he said at the end of our call, you see that Giants line? And Ed is not a guy who likes to, you know, bring things up like that. But he's very high on the Giants. So if they lose and don't cover, I will blame Ed. But it's a side that is getting a lot of respected play, and the bookmakers are also seeing that play. Did you catch a couple books at 5.5 on this one?
Yep.
So yep. Even though we are already anointing the Commanders as a playoff team, Jaden Daniels has the 5th shortest odds to win the MVP. They got better in the offseason. Wise guys are betting the other side from 7 to 6.5 to 6.
I'm betting the other side. Give me the Giants. Wouldn't surprise me if we're sitting here Monday morning and one of the headlines is the Commanders lost week 1 to the Giants. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not saying bet a money line, but I'm on the Giants +6. I like them a lot. You know I took the Giants over the win total, 5.5. There's a lot of disrespect for them. And it starts with the star power for me. Now we've got another year of Malik Nabers. And if you look at Nabers last year and what he did against this Washington secondary, 19 catches, 29 targets in 2 games, okay? 29 targets. They're going to go to him all day. Now, Russ certainly passed his prime, but can he bring his like some stability to the quarterback position? I'd say a little bit. Jackson Dart's the backup. If Russ ain't the dude, they're going to go to the rookie. I'm not saying it happens today, but it wouldn't surprise me if it were to happen in a month or so. This Giants team is not as bad as people talk about them. I like the receivers with Nabers, Slayton, Wendell Robinson. The line isn't terrible. As long as Andrew Thomas can stay healthy, the line could be just fine, which has been a big weakness over the years with them. And I look at the defense. You still have Brian Burns. You draft Abdul Carter, the runaway favorite for the defensive rookie of the year. Linebackers are strong. You got Dexter Lawrence on the line, one of the best nose tackles in the game. I don't know if it's just they get crushed by New York media or they get a few injuries and things go wrong for them or what it is, but I still respect Daboll as a coach. And his ass is on the line this year. If they exceed expectations, people are going to be talking about him possibly winning the coach of the year once again. I like the Giants +6. Unless the market adjusts, I'm guessing, Sam, that I'll be on the Giants as a dog a bunch this season.
I have them in every contest. I have them in my best bets. And I also think what is not being talked about, I know you brought up the defense. If you put Abdul Carter on one side, think about how much that opens up the other side on defense. So There's a lot of support. Doesn't mean it's right, but when guys that I respect are all on the same dog in the NFL, you pay attention.
Yep. All right, let's keep on rolling. Let's go Steelers-Jets. The Jets are the home team here, and you've got the Steelers as a road dog. It is 3.5. There are some 2.5s out there. By far the lowest total of the week. It should be the lowest total of the week. BetMGM has it at 38.5. There are books that have decided to go down to 37.5 for Steelers Jets.
This total, as most Steeler totals do, has come down. It's the Iowa of the NFL. What's the total the week before? What is it at kickoff? Now, this total opened months ago, but we talked about this on Bet Sweats Hall last year. If the total opens at 41, odds are good. By the time we get to the following Sunday, it's going to be lower. And this total was 39.5, 40, and now we're 37.5, 38. How do the Jets score? You see Vera Tucker, by the way, is out. He's not going to play. Yeah. Out for the season, right, I think? Either way, he's not playing in this game. So you have an offensive line that's already searching for answers against that defensive line, and Justin Fields is the quarterback. It's under a pass for me.
Yeah. Do you want to lay points in a very low-scoring game? I have my questions about Fields. A lot of new guys as well. You got Membu starting over on the right side, and he was supposed to play next to Vera Tucker. Now you've got that injury. Now, the case that I would make is like, look, you still have some firepower on offense with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, but it's Justin Fields. Like, you know, every time we have a fantasy guy on, I'm like, why is Fields going as a top 10 quarterback? I don't understand. Yeah, he's going to use his legs. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks that do the same. You trust both defenses, but I don't trust either offense here. I get the number. Like, I wouldn't play over this total. Even at 37.5, I wouldn't go over the number.
This probably keeps going down because the limits are going to get bigger. We're on Friday. This game is on Sunday, naturally. NFL, Sunday. I have a feeling this total is still going to go down as we get closer to kickoff.
Yep. A little bit on Panthers, Jaguars. The Jaguars getting a lot of steam here. 3.5 is the number. Panthers and Bryce Young looked better in the last month and a half of the season. We don't know what Liam Cohen's going to do. He's widely respected, but laying 3.5, I don't know, Sam. That seems like it's a bit too much.
Yeah. I just swapped out in our Chicago pick 5. I swiped out the Jags. Put the Lions in there, baby.
Lions.
Let's go.
Yes, we got there earlier on in the hour. All right, we'll see what Kelly in Vegas is thinking. College and the NFL. Joe O, Sammy P. Kelly joins us next. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.